Welcome back, friends. Nice to be with you again. This is Richard, and we have Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, waiting to talk. And appropriately for today, being October 7th, he's in the Middle East, ready to give some insights about what happened on that day and what it means for all of us. So this should be a really relevant discussion. Welcome, Gabriel, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Richard. It's always good to work with you and Doug behind the scenes. So thank you both. So it's good. So let's just start with basics. Let's do a little dancing, because in the middle of this, we don't want to forget the idea of spiritual joy, because you can get so carried away with it that it allows you to be, in a sense, dominated by, you know, the sadness, the grief. And that's not a way to live your life or win wars. Okay, so let's dance for a few minutes, and then we'll meditate. There is a mantra, and that mantra is Yod on the in-breath, Hey on the out-breath. Wah on the in-breath, Hey on the out-breath. Yod from the base to the heart, Hey out to the heart. Wah from the base to the third eye, Hey out to the heart. Merging the heart and mind. So if you have a mantra on your own, fine. But basically, you just repeat the mantra until your mind's quiet, and then you're in meditation. Okay. Okay. So let's just focus on my eyes for a second, and we'll meditate for a few minutes. Just feel the cosmic energy coming through. You meditate for just a few minutes. You slowly come out of meditation. Okay. October 7th. So let's get clear. October 7th didn't start on October 7th. Okay. It started in the 19th century. And it's one of multiple times. 1920s, before that, 1932, 1930s, where Arabs have explicitly run into mob formation to attack Israelis. And certainly in 1947-48, when that War of Liberation happened for Israel and it broke for the British and established a state with the approval of the UN. You know, we had the Balfour Declaration in 1917 and then multiple declarations, none of it which has meant much. But in the process, Israel has one declaration, which is in the Torah, the Bible, which kind of puts the boundaries very clear. And I'm not going to go into those boundaries because that's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is what all the threads that are going on. Now, we go back to 1948, the war. Israel, like they're trying to do now, and like they've tried to do pretty consistently, was denied arms from the main countries like the U.S. and so forth, and fought and won their independence. And independence declared on May 14th, 1948. Okay, but it's been a battle since then. So October 7th isn't new. Okay, I said it's 1922 in the 1890s. There's been a constant effort by the Arab world to destroy Israel. And obviously we have that war. We had the struggle in 1967. And then we had 1982 in Lebanon. And it goes on and on. Okay. Hamas has tried three or four times to destroy Israel in a variety of ways. So there is nothing new. This is the first thing we really have to understand. October 7th is nothing new. And if we keep focusing on it, we miss the whole point that this has been going on for literally at least 600 years. If we look closely into the story, even Muslims will tell you that the you look into the Quran, it's, quote, a religion of peace, but it doesn't talk about peace. It talks about killing Christians and Jews. You see a Jew behind a rock, kill him. So this is not a new idea. You know, I mean, even with the Muslim world, it's not new. The Romans did that. And before that, the Greeks. So it's a continual battle. And this isn't a continuation of that until it will ultimately be defeated. And I think that's an important thing. So we have to see that in a larger historical context. At least 600 years, I'm going to really say more, with the teachings of the Quran, they're very clear. You can call it religion of peace, but when you look at the document is to kill Jews and Christians. So what it says, it's, you know, so we have to be aware of that as a reality, okay, and not covered up with what we'd like the Quran to be saying here. So this has been going on, and that's why it's really a religious war. When we begin to see it in kind of the bigger context, it is not about land. Is not about a second state. It never was. And if you speak to Muslims about it, and if you hear what they're saying originally, that's not what people are talking about. The, I won't say the Constitution, but the founding documents of Hamas is to kill all the Jews. It's in the document. It's not like, oh, this is hearsay. Oh, it's in the document. Maybe that has something to do with how they feel about things. And contrary to most Westerners, I actually want to listen to what the Muslim world is saying. Now, that's not every Muslim. I understand that. We're talking, you know, the so-called Palestinians. Okay, Arabs are living in Gaza. Okay, that's what they're saying. Arabs in Judea and Samaria, that's what they're saying. And it's in the, not just the Hamas concept, you know, founding papers, but it's also in the founding papers of the leading Arab kind of political institutions in Judea and Samaria. Okay, so what I'm saying is there's nothing new here. Let's just really get that idea. It's not that October 7th didn't come out of the blue. Nothing new, okay? So we have to really understand that to have any kind of reasonable discussion about what's going on. And we need to also know that, generally speaking, the Western countries, including the United States, even there are a lot of certain percentage of Jews living in the U.S. who have some political power, is the Middle East is a problem. Israel is a problem, and we need to control Israel. In general, I'm going to go back to 1948 again, but this can be well documented over the years, okay? And I don't call the U.S. against Israel. It's got to be control. It's a very different concept. As we look at the relationship with Iran, where they're getting, you know, billions of dollars, even post October 7th, they got at least $5 or $6 billion, which is financing the war with Hezbollah and Hamas. There is an effort by the U.S. to protect Iran. And it's living in Israel, it's very clear. Okay? So when this is what hits the news. So a few days ago, Iran shot 201 ballistic missiles. I didn't say rockets, I said ballistic missiles. At Israel, about 80% were knocked down, and there was minimal damage from the other 20%. They hit, I think, one military site. So these are, as they say, ballistic missiles. There's another level than rockets. And they're expressing their clear intent from 1979 when this, the Mullahs, got control. Before that, we need to understand that Iran and Israel were friends, actually allies. There are a lot of Iranians living in Israel. Okay? Many had left at a certain time because it was too dangerous to live in Iran, but there's a kind of a connection between the Iranian people and the Iranians living in Israel. So that's a kind of an important reality to understand. That's different than the leadership. And I'll stop there with that, but there's a lot of politics around that. Netanyahu's actually speaks to the Iranian public saying, don't worry, soon you're going to get free from the oppression from the Mullahs. Now, we could say that's just politics undermining. It could be, but it also could be, from what I've heard from people who escaped from Iran, how a lot of people are feeling. This is a very oppressive organization running Iran. Okay, now, kind of getting back on topic, but this allyship was there for many, many years. So when we look at the consistency of this and all the different wars and the different ways, and we look at Lebanon, the 1982 war, and so on, like at least three different kind of wars, it keeps repeating itself. And this is a thing that a lot of people don't want to understand, but this theme, which has gone on for, 600, really closer to 1,000 years, it is not a new theme, which is to destroy the nation of Israel, whether it was a nation or they were individuals. So this is not new. And most people living here know that this is an old thing, not a new thing. Hamas just restates it. And PLO, in Judaism, has restated it in their founding papers as well. And so we need to understand that they're following the teachings of Muhammad in that way, explicitly, okay? And if we look closely, and I don't want to get into that too much, clearly Muhammad was teaching when the Jews wouldn't go along with him and accept him as the Messiah, okay, they're our enemy. So, not new idea. Okay, so now we step back in false assumptions. Well, once you understand that that's what the battle is, and control of the Temple Mount, which was created at the time of King David a few thousand years ago, Muslims want to control that, and it goes back and forth with that. But the false assumption is land for peace. This is not about land. Okay? It is about, from a Muslim point of view, as they've stated, killing all the Jews, making this whole area Jew-free. Now, this is our home. This is a Jewish homeland. It's been that way for thousands of years. Okay? Documented. Go back to when the Torah is written, 2,800 years ago. It's always been, since that time, it's been the case. And really since the time of Abraham, who lived for many years in Hebron, where the ancestors are buried. So, again, we have to kind of have a historical feeling for this whole story. Without that, we can't really understand. October 7th. So nobody's thinking land for peace. No one in the Middle East thinks it's land for peace. Maybe the U.S. thinks so. I just heard just a few minutes ago, Biden's upset about, you know, very concerned about the election. Harris is concerned about the election. And there's some Democrat, some guy, Chris Murphy, senator from Connecticut, is saying the only reason Netanyahu is fighting Hezbollah is to disrupt the election in the U.S. Now, that's really crazy thinking. I can't believe anybody would say that. Now, if you understood the power of Hamas with 20,000 regulars and 20,000 kind of less than regular people, you know, ready to invade, if you see, because we can see, that comes up on the TV, you know, all the weapons, they have very serious and sophisticated weapons that the, you know, the Israeli forces have been able to capture. And this was a seriously planned invasion, and my suspicion, it's hard to get clear, that there was an imminent invasion planned. And the things with all the cell phones and all that blowing up, that was part of nullifying this planned attack and all that's going on. There is a war going on, but there was an invasion plan which they stopped. Okay? And as plans and secrets get revealed, as the Israeli forces are pushing back Hezbollah behind the Litani River, which incidentally was the original border that were given to Moses, who's the northern Israel's extend to the Litani River. It's a natural border. All these things are being revealed. You know, the documents are coming out, because when you're escaping from, you know, in the war, they left their documents, they left all these weapons and so forth. So what I'm saying is very, again, very well documented. But the game plan was to kill all the Jews. It's the stated game plan of Hamas, of the PLO, of Iran. That's the game plan. Now, it doesn't appear to be working. I'll just put it that way, because they've been defeated in a variety of ways and places. So that's kind of what I'm trying to put October 7th in context of the bigger picture. Now, what we saw October 7th, from the Israeli point of view, from the documented point of view of people seeing the desecrated bodies and all the evidence of rape, women was just violated sexually in multiple ways. Having the heads cut off, babies put in ovens. These really did happen, okay? And the women bearing women, you know, there's a certain purification. They said the bodies were so desecrated that they were intentionally desecrated so they couldn't proceed on to the heavens. There's some things we can do about that. In the Native American, and I've been, adapted in the Lakota Sioux tradition, literally adapted, okay, as a sun dancer, an eagle dancer, did all these things. I didn't ask to be adopted, but I got adopted, done, okay. But when we look at the way the U.S. treated the Native Americans, and we did a ceremony at a place called Blood Island. What happened at Blood Island in the Mendocino, in the lake area, okay, north of Mendocino, is when the men were out hunting or whatever, they came in, they massacred all the women and children. That's why it's called Blood Island. Okay? And we did things to when you massacre in a certain way, people's ability to evolve spiritually get blocked. We did this also in Germany and different concentration camps to raise the dead souls. And, you know, we'll need, we already have plans to do that in the Gaza area. It's just a little hot right now to do that. But I have a group who's going to do that with me. So, because their bodies have been so desecrated that according to the Jewish law, they can't ascend. That's what I'm talking about. And just like the Germans did, you know, to people in concentration camps. So it can be undone, but I'm saying there's an intent, a demonic intent. You want to keep somebody from evolving, that's a demonic intent. Okay? It's not like we're just trying to kill you and when this world, we're doing as much damage as we can at every single level. That's, as people review it, it's October 7th, your time, they see that. Now, not that people are that sophisticated, they just see demonic action, you know, beheaded babies and this, that. You know, they have videos of all these things, and it's not one of the greater things to look at. But the point I'm making is there is no question about what people were doing. They just weren't, you know, killing people. They were desecrating people. And I think it's important to understand the level of what's going on. If you don't, you can't understand that this is a spiritual demonic war. And at this point, that war did a lot of things for Israel. A positive side, it unified Israel. That's number one. Number two, it's created a mission of what has to happen. And I don't think they're going to turn around. I kind of have to laugh at one of the recent offers from the Biden administration. Is that if you really don't go after Iran, we'll give you all kinds of goodies, and we'll support you politically, and we'll do this and that and the other thing. Just don't attack Iran. And it's like, are you kidding me? Do you think Israel is going to sell its soul so you can get a better political position? It's absurd. But that's the kind of thinking, because they don't understand the threat of the destruction of Israel that is provided by Iran. And if they do get a bomb, there's no question that they would drop it. I mean, I don't have a question, because that's their intent. Okay? So I'm looking at that. I'm looking here where we are, you know, we're spending a certain amount of time in our bomb shelter. We have to be living in an area that's kind of not exactly a target. So we haven't gone, you know, the sirens go off, you go in, you wait 10 minutes, you come out, but it's usually around. So we're about 30 minutes from Haifa. So and mostly the energy is about rockets going to Haifa. But they don't always go in a straight line, or, you know, so things get out of hand. So we do spend time in the air raid, you know, shelters. The sirens go off. You have to do that. I wouldn't, you know, in my experience, both for myself and for Shanti, my wife, we're not completely, we don't get really terrorized by it. Okay. But obviously, shooting rockets all day long, I mean, I'm trying to think, 26,000 rockets? Since October 7th, that's a lot of rockets, okay? And ballistic missiles, and they're from all the different countries. It's a seven-front war is what we're talking about. And I don't think people quite realize that. So the battles are going on, the battling in Judea and Samaria, because the Pakistanis and other groups have armed and trained the Arab living in Judea and Samaria, and they have imminent plans, which are being disrupted, to invade the rest of Israel. I mean, think small. Think that you're talking 12 miles, you know, between Judea and Samaria, something like that, and Tel Aviv. Everything is right on top of each other. So you are, if you play football, you understand it's called a goal line stand. There, you're on the defense, and the offense is at the 1 yard line. That's the level we're talking about. There can't be any more mistakes. October 7th, I don't really know what happened. Nobody really does. But obviously, they somehow it was allowed to happen through politics or this, that. I don't know. We will know, but we don't know at this moment. So I don't want to speculate too much because none of it is positive. You know, the line we hear is, oh, they underestimated that the Hamas would actually attack. It's really hard to believe because all the reports said they saw them in full set about to attack. And, you know, for days before, really a month before, really a year before, all the plans. So I can't answer that. But there will be an answer in time. But let's go back to what we're talking about, that the plan was to eliminate Israel entirely. It has never been about land. And it was intent to create a full genocide. That's what we're talking about. That has been nullified, but that's the talk of these forces. Hezbollah, PLO, Hamas, Iran. Okay. Now, the idea of a ceasefire doesn't make any sense if you're living in Israel and knowing that a ceasefire just means they'll rearm and attack you again. This is not a good plan. They've already made that mistake 3 or 4 times. Okay, so we need to understand that. Now, one of the issues for people like me is peace. And it's very easy to talk about peace, but as it says in Ecclesiastes, King Solomon, there's a time for peace, a time for war. There's a whole list of there's a time for. And what we're seeing is if you don't stand up and defend yourself, you're going to get killed. So by definition, it's a time for war. And the idea of this war, as far as I understand, is to create safe boundaries. People can always rearm, but if there's safe boundaries, it's a lot more protection. So I think that without being on the inside, I think that's where we're talking. You know, get behind the Latani River. I know rockets can overcome that, but physical invasion, it's pretty hard. So once we kind of understand the bigger picture, and I will tell you that they do understand that, okay? People in Israel understand this is an existential situation where literally the plan is to kill all the Jews. And if you're Jewish, you don't look upon that very favorably. But you need to listen to people. People aren't fooling around, and that was one of the problems with the Israeli military. They thought, well, Hamas isn't that serious. That's what they said. You know? Well, we have to take people at their word. I know people boast and threaten, but at some level, take people at their word. And I think that's one of the lessons. So it's unified Israel, it's actually set Israel to look at its bigger mission. Just 1 second. In the whole picture, because prophecy is saying specifically that, yes, the border will be the Litani River. Well, it's what we're talking about. Okay, so prophecy is being played out. And at this time, it's a time for war, a time for peace. This is a time for war so we can get to a more solid peace, which is also prophesized. Okay? And from the Israeli point of view, we're seeing that Hezbollah has basically taken over Lebanon. Now, I've been to Lebanon. And even with all the bullet holes in the walls from all the inner fighting, you know, where they pushed out the Christians and killed many Christians and so forth, it was a beautiful place. And under Hezbollah, who have taken over, the people are, to a certain extent, kind of willing captives. It's kind of like, it's hard to explain, but it's not the greatest situation for the Lebanese. So all that is going on. In the bigger picture, we may be freeing people like that. And in perspective, we're looking at the potential real peace in the Middle East. Now, we look at Syria, where hundreds of thousands of people were killed in Syrian civil wars. We look at other places where there have been civil war and up to 500,000 people, have been killed in their different civil wars. I'm not going to name all the countries. I'm just saying there's a potential to create a bigger peace. And even though the Saudis, they were going to create a peace treaty, they understand that it's to the benefit economically to have a peace. There's many, many good things, a special trail and railway from products to get from this Gulf to, being able to go across the Atlantic. I mean, there's some really wonderful things that can happen to the Middle East. If you want to look at that, that's how some of the Middle Eastern countries are thinking about it. Others, they're thinking more about, our goal is to destroy Israel. So this is kind of a little bit of a feeling I'm trying to give you for what's going on. I would say that even though there's a focus on the, quote, demonstrators in Israel, they're extremely small minority in the big picture. And they've gotten smaller and smaller because what they were pushing for clearly hasn't worked. It has brought death and destruction. It's just hard to ignore that reality. So people are saying, well, the reality is they want to kill us, so let's pay attention here. And if you look at, just a little insight, the groups that were living near the border, near the Gaza border, they were the most left liberal groups and really felt that there could be peace, and they made friendships and so forth. I've kind of mentioned that before. Many of those peacekeepers got killed. So there's a serious wake-up call. This isn't the way it's going to work. The hope for a negotiated peace without a military victory, many Israelis have given up because it never works. You look at the Litani River. Okay, well, in the UN, things 1701 or something like that, said Hezbollah would be behind the Tiny River. Well, that's not what's happened at all. They've been right on the border. And when I'm talking about armaments and weapons of fairly high level mass destruction, they were found 100 yards type of stuff from the border with Israel. So it's not like we're fantasizing about that. This is very real. So right now, it's a time for war. But afterwards, I have seriously positive hopes of a time of peace, but a much more real peace. Not a negotiated peace, a time of peace, because that's the obvious thing. So I'm going to leave you with that thought. I hope I give you a somewhat of a feeling of the mixture of what's going on, but where the trends are in the bigger picture. So I'm going to open up to Richard. And Doug wants to say something.
Really interesting information, Gabriel. Thank you. And I guess, you know, I'm not in the Middle East. I'm not an expert on that stuff, but I'm coming from the point of view that humanity as a whole and all life forms on Earth are victims right now of a satanic power structure.
I think I totally agree. Totally agree.
And so,
way beyond Israel, way beyond Hamas,
right?
Way beyond.
Yeah, and you know, there are some interesting details. Hamas, people are saying that it was created by Israel originally. And I think that was true to do something.
I think it was true. Recently, the theory, which I didn't think very smart, but the theory was Hamas would compete with the PLO and defeat them.
Exactly. So
that was the theory behind it.
Exactly. So, you know, that's important. And the other thing is that humanity is under the control of satanic forces that are using governments and religions to get everybody to kill each other and destroy the planet.
And
they've got the technology now so that, prophecy or no, it's getting more and more risky to take the war approach, you know, because without the restraint of certain powers, the planet can end being inhabited by life. And that's a big risk. I mean, Iran, for example, is an ally of Russia. If Russia was not under the control of a person with restraint at the moment, the world would already be blown up. And that's too much of a risk. So it's a consciousness question now. And it's Stephen Greer and a bunch of other people talk about consciousness, planetary consciousness of war versus peace, conflict versus harmony. And there have been documented cases of visitation for thousands of years from civilizations that had managed to bring harmony into practice. And this is not one of them. So right now, you know, even our language reflects misunderstanding. We say the U.S. is doing this, Israel is doing this. There's a difference between the people in power and the inhabitants of a country. And if, you know, we need
right,
to get,
and also the illusion of the people in power. Is Biden really in power, or is he following what the globalists are telling him to do?
No, I mean the real people in power.
Yeah, right. Okay, just making a point to, so, you know, clarify.
Yeah. Yeah, there's different levels of complicity in the officially elected people in positions of government power. It's true what you said about the Islamic scriptures being used to justify atrocities and evil and murder and all kinds of things. There's also parts of the Bible that make it very clear that people don't want to look at, that genocide is fine as long as you're killing subhuman people and you can murder them all and take their country, and it's called the Promised Land. And it's because they're subhuman. And this kind of belief doesn't lend itself to peace.
Having read many of those passages, I wouldn't use the word subhuman. I don't think it's ever said that. I think it said idol worshipers that will undermine your ability to really focus on a single monotheistic God.
Exactly. So kill them and kill their children, cut down their trees, destroy their property, and steal their land.
Clearly says that. It clearly says that. And again, the context.
It's justified.
In the context at that time.
Yes.
I don't think you're going to find too many Torah scholars who would interpret it at that level now. I honestly don't think that's the current reading of
government officials. Government officials support that interpretation now.
I don't know about Israel having those interpretations. There's a lot of religious people in the government, you know, and I haven't heard that level of interpretation.
Right. Netanyahu quoted it as a justification for war.
Yeah, but I would say the general thing is, honestly, these are people are subhuman and we have a right to eradicate them. I don't really think that's what's going on. What I think is these are our enemies. They're trying to kill us. We better wake up.
No, he said kill them all, including their children and animals.
He may have said that. I'm not familiar with that, but I do know that this came up after October 7th when there was an attempt to really destroy all of Israel.
Yes, and the Israeli real power people were responsible for some of that too.
Yeah, that's yet to be unraveled. I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's nobody really knows here in Israel. That will come out after war. I'm sure it will.
And Netanyahu made a point that it should not be investigated until he's finished doing war.
Right, because that would be very divisive.
Yeah, but it might also expose the people behind the war.
It will expose the people behind the war.
And what if it's him?
In the middle of a war. Very bad idea. It's like in football, you don't argue in the huddle whether the quarterback's making the right move, okay? It's just you don't do that. And if you notice, a lot of the division seems to have faded out. We can't get the division between Galant and Gatz. And that all seems to disappear because they're saying we better pay attention to what's in front of us, which is called the existential threat of your survival. Now, when the war is done, they'll fragment again and do that. But at this moment, people are saying, this is very serious. We're being attacked in seven fronts. We better pay attention.
Right. I understand that logic. But the point is that if somebody was starting this whole thing that had very malicious intent, and they're in a power position in the government, and you let them stay there, they're going to turn it into a Holocaust, and that's not a good idea.
Yeah, I'm objecting to the extremity of the words, okay? There is and was conflict. There's a few radical people who have been told to shut up, actually, by Netanyahu. You know, that there's like one or two right-wing people. And we don't want to quote their statements, which you've been doing, to represent how most people are thinking. They're not the majority. They are a minority, but they aren't what's going on, okay? So there was a guy you just quoted, and, you know, that was very unpopular. He caught a lot of flack for that, and so did Netanyahu. And he's not part of Netanyahu. I was party. So I think it's a mistake to quote this very extreme guy. If you quote the John Birch Society, say that's what the president thinks. I think there's a problem with that.
No, I'm not. I'm quoting the president himself.
Well, I don't think he's the general message 99% of the time. It's not that at all. The general message is about cold survival. And I don't think when he speaks at the UN, I don't think he speaks here in Israel. He says this, I know there was a point where some of that was said, but it's said in a lot of reactivity and dealing with these two right, extreme right-wing guys. You know,
yeah, I'm specifically talking about Netanyahu.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm telling you from the inside of what's going on that I don't think that that is his position based on 99% of the information. And he may have made a statement, which I didn't see because it was Gavir who said it. So I'm going to go look for that to see if he actually made the statement versus this other guy, who Gavir and one other guy who's from Judea and Samaria, who are very right-wing, who did make those statements.
Yeah, it was him. I watched it on video multiple times.
Okay, that's good. So that's
basically, I'm just making the point that both scriptures are inciting violence, and people have to rise to a level above religion if there's any chance for lasting peace, and not just say that, well, after our side wins, then there'll be peace. That was what was said in World War I, World War II, and all these other ones, and they didn't have the weapons that made it as dangerous as it is now.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth to what you're saying, okay? But that's not exactly what's really happening here. That's all I can tell you. It's not really the mindset. You know, it's like, yes, we have to win the war. Then we can talk in meaningful terms to make this work, to set real boundaries and not have UN things that aren't enforced, okay, to make this happen. Because generally, the public in Israel, and a lot of the public in Israel, wants peace. It's a very high priority, and the politicians do have to listen to that. So, you know, Israelis are saying, we're trying to survive. We have to do this to survive. Before this war, that wasn't what people were saying. And there was a lot of division about what to do.
Right. And you mentioned the UN.
Changed opinion.
You mentioned the UN. You mentioned the UN.
Yeah, because the UN is really bad news for Israel. You know?
They're bad news for the planet. It's a criminal organization.
Yeah, totally, totally. They have very, very little support in Israel.
Yeah, but they have a lot of power. And
we'll see how far the power goes. There's many things going on. And I know Trump has seriously challenged the UN, called take away funding, which is 75% of the UN's finances.
Right.
So we'll see, but I think the UN has never really done its job, unless you see it as part of a one-world government takeover, which is kind of how they see it.
Right. If there was a real UN, it would be great.
Yeah, and that doesn't seem to have worked. This is the second. We have League of Nations, and then we have this thing. Remember, I may have mentioned this to you, that this came out of the occult societies, Madame Blavatsky. So that's a whole history of it came out of a very much occult world that created this. And it used to be, let's see if I got it right. It's not a light. Lucifer Trust. Lucifer Trust was the original basis where they said, no, that's not going to fly. And they call it the Lucius Trust, L-U-C-I-S. How do I know it? Because I work with the UN. And I followed the history and said, oh my goodness, Lucifer Trust, that's where this got started as a basis of the UN? Pretty serious.
Yeah.
Okay. Alice Bailey, that whole group, Aleister Crowley, they had strong effects on the this occult dark thing as the as founding engines of the UN.
Right. Yeah. So instead of, you know, the point of the UN is to take away national sovereignty and destroy life on the planet.
Well, now that is, yeah. And it probably was at the beginning because, as you said in the beginning, this is a satanic war.
Yeah, exactly.
And I couldn't agree more with you. Yeah.
It's going to come down to consciousness, you know, and the same consciousness that's creating hell in the Middle East is using weather weapons to start destroying the U.S. and other countries around the world. It's the same thing.
Now, I don't want to get off the topic, but it's on the topic. So recently in North Carolina, there was a very unusual, I don't know what you call it, hurricane or whatever. Are you referring to that as a weather weapon?
Yeah, and the one that's expected to follow it. The ones that are expected to follow it.
So I'm going to just get off the topic, but on the topic. Where the hurricanes are centered is a place, the only mine or two mines in the world where this high sophisticated chip can be produced. Are you aware of that, what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very much like what happened in Maui.
That's exactly right. And so a friend of Maui actually pointed that out to me, and I wasn't thinking that way at all, is that what they're doing is doing what they did with Lahaina. Get rid of all the local people who are protesting and don't want this to happen.
Exactly. And they're doing it with maximum suffering.
Yeah, and they're not allowing food to get in. People are trying to help. They threaten to arrest them. It's like, this is crazy.
They're ordering FEMA to steal the food that's being donated.
Yeah. So we clearly see something really wrong here. You know, and what you just said, I want to totally support, is that this is an effort, again, by the New World Order to control this particular high-level space.
Right. And that it goes right along with blowing up the Middle East and making it a nuclear holocaust if possible.
Yeah, which I don't believe will happen, but yeah.
But they're risking that.
Yes.
And the U.S. government is supporting both sides.
Yes.
With money for weapons, thousands of millions of dollars to both sides.
Yes. It's very, unfortunately, people here are acutely aware of that.
So somehow the challenge is to overcome that whole system and turn it around. And the consciousness of the people has to change before it's too late.
Now, in Israel, I want to tell you that U.S. government is not, is not very loved. They see the U.S. as a, they use the word frenemy, a friendly enemy.
It's the same with the people in Iran. I have friends over there, and they don't hold it against the American people, but they do hold it against the American government.
Right. It's a friend of me. Yeah. So that's it. I didn't realize that it's a little late. So it's good to know we agree on a great deal of things here. And
Light versus dark.
What?
Light versus dark is the whole issue.
Yes. And may we all be blessed that we move more and more into the light and really transform the planet into a planet of light and love and peace and the sound of spiritual joy. The whole. So I want to thank you, Richard, and Doug behind the scenes.
Wonderful, Gabriel. I really appreciate it, too. And I think it's important to remember that it's not about the details. It's about the main point. And the main point is transformation of consciousness. And that covers all the details. So for everybody listening, it's important to realize how important you are and that what you're projecting out to the atmosphere of the planet, this planet has not just a CO2, nitrogen, oxygen, and trace gas atmosphere. It has an energy atmosphere. And you're not just one person out of billions that's insignificant. If you have focus and you put attention on what you're doing, you're disproportionately strong and influential in affecting the planet. So be aware of your emotions and your thoughts and your focus and your attention. It's not just insignificant. It's very powerful, and it's been forgotten. We need to bring it back. We have great power. Future of peace is in your hands. So thanks for being here. Hope you all have a good week. Thanks for staying late with us, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
And I just remind you, we have a world peace meditation, because it's what Richard's saying is exactly what we've been doing since 1985.
Exactly. World peace meditation. And the other programs on Gabriel's site are treeoflife.mn.co and drcousins.com, and we have planetaryhealingclub.com that's still going, and we're looking at the weather situation this last week, and the point is that in spite of the hell that we're living in and the nightmare that this has become, the focus needs to be on what we want it to transition into. And if you can keep that focus in the middle of the darkness, then we can change the whole situation for the better. All right. Anyway, love to everyone, and have a good week, and we'll see you next time.
Peace be with you.